stuff that we are worried about. Don't worry about it. It won't gain us another moment of life, and it'll hold us back from finding the answers to the questions. And we're getting them, too. We really, really are. And it's absolutely excellent to be able to welcome to the Sixth Element of Caravan to Midnight for the first time, Dr. Mark McDonald. And there is a bunch of stuff. There is a bunch of paper here. But suffice it to say, he does not mince words. There's a informed dissent, L.A.-based child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist Mark McDonald's new book explains that America is suffering from two pandemics, the well-publicized viral pandemic and the hidden pandemic of fear, which may be more dangerous and damaging than the virus itself. Dr. McDonald has become increasingly concerned by the stress, anxiety, depression, addiction, domestic violence, and thoughts of suicide among his patients, directly traceable to the fear being stoked by the government and irresponsibility. I added that part. It's actually irresponsibly amplified by the media, but goes both ways. Rooted in the natural anxieties of women, coupled with the eunuch-like inability of men to stand up, loss of masculinity in men, and loss of femininity in women, Dr. McDonald diagnoses the country at large as suffering from a mass delusional psychosis. This is not a metaphor. The malady itself is very real. So without further ado, it's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Mark McDonald, MD. Good evening, sir. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you, John. I'm glad to be on, and thank you for that very detailed and clear introduction and summary of the thesis of my book, United States of Fear, which is my first publication as of November of last year.
I wonder if we're going to be able to get out of this in some way. We're hearing all sorts of things about this, you know, this mass psychosis is sweeping the nation. And it's true. People are behaving so irrationally in some cases, driven by an irrational fear at this point. What's the antidote? Is there an antidote? Jen Psaki says, well, people are getting irritated, and she used the expression of pissed off, which I suppose is acceptable, even over the public airwaves now, I suppose. Have a margarita. I don't think that'd be a very good idea, Jen, for people who don't really like what you're saying to be drinking like that around you. But anyway, have a margarita. Don't worry about it. But is there an antidote to the psychosis? Just take us anywhere you want to go.
John, you're quoting Circle Back Psaki as she announces and recommends yet another drug to help curb the addiction to the drug of fear.
Right.
I find it kind of ironic because the way that I conceptualize this problem now, we've gone beyond just a resonance of fear, a trauma of fear, compliance with fear. I think we're in a full-blown national addiction to fear at this point. And the last thing you want to do for an addict is to give him another drug. What you want to do is you want to cut off the dealer. And Jen Psaki is, of course, the dealer-in-chief underneath the executive-in-chief who's been peddling this fear for close to 2+ years. I'm about to write another book which will actually answer that question, what do we do about this? And I'm writing it as a recovery from fear. My first book was about fear and how we got here. And I added a little bit at the end of the book about what to do from here on. And I focused on the individual, which I think we should always start from as opposed to the group. But it's not sufficient. You really need a national recovery plan, just like AA, a 12-step program for recovery from alcohol addiction. We need a 12-step program for recovery from fear addiction. Every American that is still living in fear is to some degree addicted to that fear, meaning that there is a reward that is offered to be fearful, to express fear, to follow your fear, to mask 2-3 times, to get 3, 4, 5, 6 shots, to wear face shields, to antisocial distance, to stay home from school, to stay home from work, to hide. There are benefits and rewards to that, just like there's benefits and rewards to a drug addiction. And that is the immediate sense of relief and gratification, knowing that you are safe and that you are doing something good for society. Now, this is not true. You're neither safe nor are you doing something good for society, but that's the lie that you tell yourself. So I think the first step forward is for each individual American to look in the mirror and to acknowledge that he is addicted to fear and that he wants to overcome it.
Now, you were born and raised in Los Angeles and graduated from UC Berkeley, then went to Medical College of Wisconsin, and then trained in, you are trained in both adult and child and adolescent psychiatry. Says UCLA here in parentheses, and currently works primarily with children in private practice in West LA. What kind of effects are you seeing in children? Are you treating children? Are you talking with children who are having anxiety disorders over COVID, for example?
Well, I see children every day, and they're all collapsed. They're emotionally bereft, exhausted. They're suffering from regression, relapse. Many of them can't leave their homes. They're sitting in my office wearing a mask on their face, and when I tell them to take the mask off, they cannot do it. They are stuck. They are not just compliant. They are really so emotionally attached to these talismans, these magical amulets that people are carrying around, pretending to ward off demons, that when they leave it behind, they suffer a panic attack. It's something I've never seen before. They're even more attached to these masks than they are to cell phones, which is saying a lot. On a clinical level, I have seen children go into inpatient units. I have seen children punch plate glass windows. I have seen children wet their beds at night. I lost two of my patients 1 year ago. First time in my career, I've actually seen young patients die from unnatural causes. Both of those patients died at home while on fentanyl.
While on fentanyl.
They ordered what they thought was Xanax to their home in order to relax, to treat their anxiety for not being able to go to school, play football, hang out with their friends. And, of course, as you know, all Americans know, there's been a fentanyl incursion into almost all the illegal drug habits in the United States today, peaking in 2021 at a record high of 100,000 Americans dead from drug overdoses, most of them fentanyl. And these two children, they ingested what they thought was Xanax. It was laced with fentanyl. And then 20 minutes later, they were lying face down in a pool of their own vomit, dead from respiratory arrest due to fentanyl. And they were following safer at home orders by our LA mayor, Eric Garcetti. I mean, talk about height of irony. Safer at home and you wind up dying, and completely avoidable. So I have seen the gamut of everything from worsening anxiety to death, all because of the government response to this pandemic, this viral pandemic, which has killed essentially no children in the United States, no healthy children in any way, but we've seen tens of thousands of children die from the pandemic of fear that was brought onto us by the government response to the viral pandemic.
Well, how many coincidences does it take before enough people in this country realize what's happening? You know, to people who don't buy into what we're talking about tonight, Doctor, I can't imagine that they wouldn't pay some attention to it, considering you are a professional who has firsthand knowledge of this. I wonder what's the reluctance. Why are people not blowing up their elected representatives' phones and email boxes and so forth? I didn't mean anything by blow up. That's just vernacular, right?
Everybody? Metaphorically speaking.
But why is everybody so complacent? Why are people not raising hell? That's a scientific term. You're familiar with that one, maybe?
Well, the reason why it's happening is that you're making an assumption that all awake and rational people make, which is that we as a collective, as American citizens, are still able to largely access our rational, thoughtful, critical minds. And many, many Americans are no longer able to do that. And the reason for that is that they have allowed their thinking brains to be hijacked by their emotions. And their emotions have been largely fueled by fear. And that's why I called my book United States of Fear. Yeah. Because this country has been taken over by a pandemic of fear. It has risen to the level of a mass delusional psychosis, a term that I began speaking about back in the middle of 2020, long before Matthias Desmet and then later Robert Malone began speaking about it. This, I believe, encapsulates the psychological description of what has happened to us as a society. Americans have become so afraid, so fearful, and so groupthink-oriented that they can no longer actually distinguish the reality of their life from the fantasy, which is propaganda and lie-driven, that is being force-fed them by politicians, by business leaders, and by media, day in and day out, through every possible portal imaginable. They are actually brainwashed. They are in a cult of fear right now, and they are addicts within the cult. There is no rational explanation for this. It is entirely psychological. I have seen bright, talented, conservative-minded physicians who have fallen prey to this as well. It's not a question of stupidity. Many people who are actually not well-educated are much more awake than those who are. And I believe the reason is that those Americans who have been able to continue to live in an actual reality where they are working with their hands, they are outside, they are relying on their own tools, their own mind, their own body, their family, their church, their community, their civic organizations, they are largely inoculated to this pandemic of fear, which is also a pandemic of dependency on the state. It's those people who are living in urban areas, who are zooming it in from home, not going outside, not seeing people, sucking in the drug through the media. Those are the people that have lost their minds. So this divide between the rational, the irrational, the psychotic, and the non-psychotic, it's not just political. It's not even a state-by-state issue. It's not Florida versus California. It's largely urban versus rural. People living in rural America are living more reality-based, honest lives, and they do not suffer the effects of this fear pandemic, whereas those who live in the cities, largely speaking, are. And that's why we have so many delusionally psychotic people in large urban areas in this country today.
Yeah, and I think the anxiety level and the stress level and the vibe, if you will, I'm not sure that's a scientific term, but maybe it should be, you can sense that some cities are a little more uptight, to use a phrase from the Stone Age, than others, you know? You go to Chicago and it's like, you better watch what you're doing in this town. It's a great town, always has been. It's a famous town, a legendary town, but you know, there's a not what you'd call a light vibe in Chicago. And I wonder if anybody's got any metrics out there on the level of psychosis from among the top 10 markets, which at one time I thought were the top 10 cities population-wise, but actually I found out they were markets. And that was very telling overall to my philosophical musings over the state of the world. Everything is a market. So eventually, I have to ask this question, and that is, what are the threats and the considerations of suicide among children? What's happening with that? Not just accidentally overdosing, but pondering the prospects of maybe I'll just kill myself.
It's difficult to actually get good data because the government is suppressing it. We do have statistics on adult suicide, which surprisingly has remained fairly constant in the last couple of years, while drug overdoses, of course, have skyrocketed. So you have to parse those two pretty carefully, and much of media doesn't want to do that. But when you go into underage populations, it's very, very difficult to get new data. The most recent that came out that was verified by the federal government, I believe, was 2017. So we're really far behind. However, what I can say is that I've been looking at some of the difficult-to-find announcements from sources that you can trust, such as the three Southern California counties' coroner's reports of underage suicides. And in all three of those counties in Southern California, there was an increase year over year between 2019 to 2020. I also know that youth drug overdoses have gone up substantially. And a lot of those drug overdoses are not just experimentation. They're due to self-treatment of depression and anxiety. I can also tell you that in my own practice, my private practice, many of the patients that I have that are young, underage, have become more depressed and more anxious and have admitted to me that they have been contemplating suicide because they don't have much meaning left in their life anymore. Largely, an absence of meaning is what drives suicide in most cases. There's also obviously comorbid mental illness. But it's not common for somebody that has a sense of meaning and purpose to kill himself, even if he's depressed and anxious, because the meaning overrides those feelings. So I am deeply concerned that not just the physical health, but the psychological health of our youth here in the United States has been profoundly devastated by this horrid, corrupt, immoral, evil, destructive response by the government to this viral pandemic. And more so, the children that do survive, the ones that aren't committing suicide, they are going to be permanently hobbled with restricted and constricted development, just like the infants and toddlers out of the Brown University Department of Pediatrics study that occurred in October and November, published results before the end of last year that showed significant IQ point loss in infants, significant cognitive decline up to 24% in children ages 0 to 5. These groups of children are literally being made stupid by our government decisions and by the parents that allow these decisions to keep their children at home, keep them masked, keep them away from friends, keep them from developing normally. On every level, we are failing our children in this country.
And so now, what to do about it? We can talk about it, but a lot of the stuff, people seem to, they're either going to accept it, they're preloaded almost to either accept it or not. The moment that they hear a contradiction to the narrative that has scared them to death and has locked them into itself, the more facts you present, the harder they cling to this narrative put out by the government, because we're supposed to trust them, trust the mainstream media, trust the government. They wouldn't be there if we couldn't trust them, would they? I mean, people just don't learn anything after a few decades, it seems to me. Over to you.
The data war was won a long time ago. This is no longer a data war. And if you continue to use data as your weapon, your armamentarium, you will fail. Because the people who were convinced by data have been convinced long ago, because the data was out there from the beginning that this whole thing, all of it, I'm not talking about the existence of the virus. I'm not a virus, non-virus conspiracy theorist. I mean the response to the virus has been completely, completely ham-fisted. So the people now, 2 years later, that are still going along with it, they're not going to be convinced by data. Don't waste your breath. It's just going to frustrate you and frustrate your conversational partner. No, that's not the way out of this. The way out of this, two parts. One, we have to stop looking for a savior. No man, no Donald Trump is going to come and save us. We have to do this ourselves. We have to actually start from the ground up. We have to start from the community, not from the federal government, not even from the state government. And we have been largely complacent for years, way before this whole viral pandemic. We have been effete. We have been entitled. We have been acting as a last stage of Rome culture. We can't allow ourselves to continue that way. We have to get back to our roots. We have to look to each other, to our families. We have to look in the mirror. We have to start producing honest work and facing the reality of the need for not government, but for ourselves to actually do the work. I think that's incredibly important. The second thing that we have to do is we have to, as a group, the collective that are awake and honest and open and rational, we have to start targeting a different population. We can't try to convert people who are brainwashed. That's hopeless. That's like trying to tell the addict who says, I'm not hurting myself by drinking, and I can stop any time, that he's hurting himself and that he should stop. It's a waste of your effort.
Especially
talk to the guy
drunk.
That's in AA. Yes, yeah. Especially when he's drunk. Forget that. It's hopeless. What you need to do is you need to go to the people who are curious. The people who got the three shots and wore the two masks and gloved up, stayed home, quarantined, antisocial distance, and now they're sick. They're sick with a cold. And they're recovering from it, and they'll be fine in a week. And now they're being told to get another shot and to stay home again. And they're starting to ask the question, you know what, I don't understand this. I did everything you told me. I was even afraid, just like you told me to be afraid. And now I'm just tired. I'm just tired, and I'm confused, and I don't want to live like this anymore. Those are the people, and it's a large number, and it's growing. And I can tell you it's been growing tremendously in the last 4 weeks since Christmas, when half the country that had already gotten multiple shots to protect them against this plague, they got sick, and they recovered. Those people are the ones that are going to save us, because the ones that are already converted, they've been with us forever, the last 2 or 3 years, and they haven't been able to be successful. And the ones that are destroying our country, they're pathologic. They're sociopathic, like Anthony Fauci. You're not going to teach him anything. He knows what he's doing. He's only in this for himself and his own self-aggrandizement. So don't try to convert him. Go to the people that were on the side of Fauci 2 years ago and now are saying, I just don't think I want to walk down this path any further. I think those are the ones that are going to turn the tide. And all we need is that tipping point. And then from there, we can all work together. We can push back against those who are still brainwashed and those who are actually actively, consciously trying to hurt us. That's how I think we can survive this.
A lot of people are still caught in that, I can't believe that anybody would really be all right with mass murder. Are you kidding me? Read a history book and go back a few pages. I mean, these dictators, they really get off on this stuff. They like that kind of control. Ah, the ability to kill millions of people, and I'll be sitting right here, you know, converting all my money to, I don't know, nickels, so I can wallow privately in those nickels in my vault. I mean, these people really think this way. It's crazy.
They do.
Where can we get your book? We want it. We want your book. How do we get it?
United States of Fear. You can order it on Amazon, or you can look for it on my website, dissidentmd.com.
You know, we have 30 seconds, so I'll give you 15 of them. Your message to the world is what?
Think for yourself, because if you do not, others will think for you, and they will be thinking of you. Mr. Thoreau, the American author.
I love that guy. God bless, sir. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Phil.
Dr. Mark McDonald, everybody. All right, we'll be back with Mary Fanning and Alan Jones after this. That's right. You've heard the expression, it's all in your head. Well, it is. It's all in your head. I think we need to operate under rule number one from, well, I always do, but I'm thinking more people, maybe everybody needs to operate under a rule number one, which is whenever there is any doubt, there is no doubt, meaning don't trust it. If there's any doubt, then there is no doubt. Investigate, look into it deeply, and then eliminate the doubt or confirm the doubt. But don't let the doubt go unacknowledged. I say again, how many coincidences does it take? I am now privileged to speak with Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, once again, from the AmericanReport.org and 1776channel.com, respectively. They were the first ones to expose the port management company Gulf Tanner's connections to all kinds of things, from Saddam's WMD programs to Russian's Club K container missile launching system. They continue to make these connections. Connecting the dots is what they're all about. So let's talk to them. Welcome back for another exciting episode of the Fortnite Intelligence Briefing. Wow, my head's... I'm going to have to put on one of those sweatbands and tighten it down, because my head's about to explode after tonight. And every intelligence briefing is mind-blowing, but this is really quite something tonight. Over to you, Mary. What's going on in your mind tonight?
John, what a great show. It's so nice to be with you and our team that came forward tonight and spoke to the American people. It's because, as Dr. McDonald said, there's been an effort to brainwash and put the American people under so much fear that the totalitarians can take over and take control of our great country and turn it into a communist type.
Yeah, what's amazing is how effective it's been. The thing that gets me is how effective it's been. If someone had told us, if somebody had laid this out in some sort of a scary movie in the 90s, maybe they did, and we didn't pay attention because we moved on to the next 500 movies after that and forgot about it. But watching it at the time, they'd go, "Woo, that is a really, really scary proposition." But I don't think anybody would have thought, do you think they're really going to do that to us? Because we didn't have the information available then that we have now. Now, I don't think they want to put out a movie like that. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, part of that was, actually, they did just put out a movie about that. But part of it was that through the entire Obama administration, no one was telling the truth about Obama and his communist connections. Alan and I wrote a piece that clues to Obama's mysterious ID. Most of the information came directly from the FBI vault. So our government knew exactly who he was and who he was in bed with his entire life. And they should have looked, Nancy Pelosi certainly should have looked, of his connections to Frank Marshall Davis, he being a Soviet agent on the FBI's list to be arrested should anything break out between the Soviet Union, and further that he was part a CPUSA member with his number listed, and also that he was part and parcel of the NAMBLA Association, the Man Boy Love Association. You do not have those sorts of associations unless you are, you know, putting things in play. And that's exactly what was taking place. And now you can see the outcome of that is they're taking the children's heads and scrambling them. And so that at this point, you know, you have kindergartners who are afraid or don't know what to answer when they ask them whether they're a boy or a girl.
I mean, what is that supposed to do to a kid, just asking any kid that, whether it's a boy or a girl? Which are you? I mean, really? Comment, Alan?
Well, I want to touch on what Mary was saying about propaganda and the brainwashing. So Mary and I just published a story today about a movie called Unsilenced, which debuted in the United States on a limited release. I think it was around 40-something cities. And it's was filmed in Taiwan, but it takes place in China. And it's based on a true story, and it takes place at Tsinghua University. Now, if that sounds familiar, that's because that's the same university where John P. Holdren, who was Obama-Biden administration's depopulation science czar, and who's connected to the pandemic because he was the one who authorized the stopping the ban on gain-of-function research. So he's actually a professor at this university, Tsinghua. And what happened back around 2000 was just absolutely horrifying. So many of your listeners may have heard of Falun Gong, which is a spiritual movement. They do slow, controlled movements and breathing, and it's supposed to bring about a spiritual awareness. And so the CCP saw Falun Gong as growing in popularity and therefore a threat to the party. And so orders came down from the top of the CCP to basically eliminate them. And so it takes place on a campus, the same campus where Holdren is now teaching. And the university participated in the singling out and targeting of these students who were then subsequently arrested by the CCP police. They were brought in for interrogation and brutal torture. I mean, I don't want to describe on air what they did to these poor students. And some of them died during torture. And this is an institution, this university that's involved in defense research for the CCP and the PLA, a very serious defense research. And Holdren, who, by the way, is the author of Ecoscience, Population, Resources, and Environment, is over there working with these people. And let me just read you a chilling quote that he wrote in his 1977 book, Ecoscience. He wrote, quote, "Biological warfare laboratories are potential sources of a man-made, quote, solution, unquote, to the population explosion." Let that sink in.
Yeah, it didn't take long to sink in. That's pretty rough. 1977?
Yes. And I encourage all of your listeners to try to see this film because it's not really getting much promotion from the Hollywood media, but it's a very important in understanding how serious a threat China is, how brutal the people that Biden and his son Hunter are working with. These are very, very evil people. What they will do to their fellow human beings is just horrific. And it's right there on the screen to be seen for all. And this is the same university that's connected to John P. Holdren, Obama, Biden, science czar.
So it's
moved over to China. Yeah, he moved over to China after putting through gain of function 11 days before President Trump took office. Now, remember, we had found out that they were already looking into gain of function. So why did he put that through to legalize it right before President Trump came into office? And I suggest that he put it through to cover what they had already been making in Wuhan, working with Fauci, and that they had taken their monstrous science projects offshore, and that Holdren was part of that. You know, the fact that he was a depopulation czar going back as far as into the 70s, and then Obama put him in place as his science and technology czar, and understanding what has taken place in this country. We're not just looking at what just happened in this film. It's being replicated in the United States and in Western countries, including the United States, Australia, New Zealand. These pandemic rules are a totalitarian thrust to take away our freedoms. What we have just seen in New York, where they arrested a 9-year-old child because she did not have her vaccine card in a museum. They took this little girl away without her parents, the police putting this child in a car. Beyond that, this article that we've just published at theamericanreport.org, but also you can find it on our Telegram channel, the American Report's Telegram channel. Beyond that, we have a film in there that you can see what they are doing to the people in Australia. Make no mistake, that is coming here. We are seeing what they are doing to people in this country. The idea that Merrick Garland is sending the FBI into school board meetings for parents, and that his son-in-law is benefiting from that because he sells the books on critical race theory. This is being shoved down this country's throat, communism. It used to be illegal to be a communist if you were part of a union. It used to be illegal because it was anti-American.
Well, my question is, where's the outrage over mainstream? Where's Hannity? He can say, take the damn vaccine. Too many people have died. How about putting something truthful out there, Sean? Tucker gets with it pretty good. And I mean, to me, this is the only reputable outfit out there. I mean, that you could say is reputable, and they obviously hedge according to what management wants them to not talk about. But when are some of the big shots out there in mainstream media going to sing out and go, okay, either quit or give the American people some information that they need? But, you know, as far as sitting up there, you know, all made up with a nice expensive, what is it, a Brioni suit you're wearing there? And just blowing out stuff like, take the damn vaccine. Too many people have died. It's like, are you aware that between 7,000 and 8,000 people die every day from all causes in the United States? And that the death rate, I'm asking him, not Marion Allen. And the death rate, it varies a little bit. So some months you lose 8,000. Another month you'll lose 7. It's in the middle. Yeah. So I did 7,000. On the low end of things, multiplied it by 365, and I got 2.555 million people. So how many of those that die from all causes are now dead from COVID? It's just, the propaganda level is so effective because it is continuous repetition. Over to you. Save me for myself. I'm getting mad.
It is brainwashing. It is propaganda. And keep in mind that was made legal under Barack Obama with the modernization of the Smith-Mundt Act that was put in place in 1948 to make sure that the American people were not being fed propaganda. Barack Obama reversed that, a decision from 1948, and the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 made propaganda legal. And if you're wondering why the mainstream media lies incessantly, it's because they no longer have to tell the truth. It has been made legal under the Smith-Mundt Act of 2012. So do not expect the truth from the mainstream media because they are not capable of telling it. Beyond that, look at the piece that Alan and I wrote about Rupert Murdoch, Red Rupert, who kept a bust of Lenin in his room at Oxford and his son, a portrait of Mao, in his office. Do not expect the truth from anyone in the mainstream media, particularly Fox News. You knew that CNN was full of baloney and MSNBC and these others who have such a political bent that's so obvious, but understand that it also comes from Fox News.
I'm with you. I am. I mean, I want to like those people, but so far, I mean, there are a couple of them that'll pop off a little bit, but they're not in the majority. Most of it is it's kind of watered down. It's kind of pablum now. Without the nutritional benefits of pablum.
the information that just came out about Hannity and Kayleigh, that Hannity told Kayleigh McEnany she wasn't allowed to speak about the stolen election. So, you know, how does that work when we just had Hannity having President Trump on for an interview, yet at the same time he's speaking to Kayleigh and say, don't mention the stolen election?
Mm-hmm. Well, Stalin described his converts as useful idiots. Vladimir Lenin called them useful idiots as well. But what Joe Stalin was talking about was Americans that are sympathetic to the communist cause. So these people that are all in with this, well, just know that one of your great leaders and heroes thinks of you as a useful idiot. Now, I personally think of you as a useless idiot, but that's just me. So this is John Holdren, professor at Tsinghua Chinese University, exposed in true story movie Unsilenced. Is that I wonder how we see this. I suppose a quick search will reveal it. I'll look.
Yeah, so if you limited go online release. And look for it, it's in limited release right now. But it is, it's probably around 50 cities in the U.S. right now. But one thing that's going to really shock anyone that goes to watch this film, and I recommend they do it right away because it may not be on the screen very long, but they're going to see, one, the blanket pulled from over China to see exactly how brutal it is and how the CCP and the secret police operates there. But they're going to see things that they recognize happening here. One of them is that the university system, and Tsinghua is sort of like the MIT of China, okay? So it's sort of a science and technology university. But they're going to see how closely integrated the faculty and the administration of the university is with the Communist Party. So we're seeing that here, of course, with all these Marxist indoctrination happening on U.S. campuses. But it happens there in China, and it's actually very similar. And it's not a very long train ride from being a university student sitting in the classroom, and it looks sort of like an American classroom. You know, they're taking notes, they're listening to the professor. And next scene, they're in a torture chamber with communist police beating them within an inch of their life, or sometimes even further, with torture tools that's implemented from a table. The lead torturer picks out his tool that he's going to use that day and uses it against a student because of their spiritual beliefs. And what kind of persecution is happening here, and how far are we from there?
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that the Falun Gong practitioners have reputedly very healthy organs because of the very healthy lifestyle that they try to lead, and therefore their organs are in high demand. They just have the plastic bag ready, and they just remove the organ of choice, put it in the bag, and get it to the buyer. I mean, this is what we're dealing with here, folks. It is horrible. So, you know, sometimes the campiest little... Go ahead, Mary.
Well, but we're also seeing things that we never could have imagined in this country. You know, we're seeing an NBA owner of the Golden State Warriors, a major supporter of the Democrat Party. He just recently said he doesn't care about human rights abuses in China against the Uyghurs. So imagine that as these people are kept alive, tortured, as they harvest their organs, or the other list of monstrous horribles that take place. And this NBA owner says, well, you know, as long as he makes the money and the Chinese like watching his basketball team, then he has no problem with what's happening in China against the Uyghurs. But beyond that, we just saw Jamie Dimon moving his bank into China. Maria Bartiromo, when she questioned him on that, she said, are you kidding? You know, we just had a bioweapon released on this country, and you're going to open J.P. Morgan Chase banks in China? And Jamie Dimon said, well, you know, bad things happen across the world. No, they don't like this. They do not happen like this. And once you start approving of that, and when you're seeing what's happening in Australia, keep saying that this is okay, and it's already on its way here. It is time for the American people to stand up and say to Jamie Dimon and say to the Golden State Warriors, you have no moral barometer. We are Americans, and we will not tolerate this and walk from these folks.
Well, Jamie Dimon's just, in my opinion, he talks like a thug. I mean, he makes a lot of money, more power to him, but so did every scumbag mob boss in the history of this or any other country. You remember when he said that? You don't know anything about aircraft engines either. That's all you need to know. We make a little bit on every transaction. That's all you need to know. You don't know about airplane engines either. Next question. I mean, really? This is a dignified individual that runs that big an outfit? You bet. They're all thugs, folks. You're going to have to look past the expensive clothes. They're standing there in $5,000 and probably $40,000 if you throw in the watch and the shoes. And this is not a nice person at all. Anybody that thinks that way, bad things happen around the world. It's no big deal. We still make a little bit of money off every transaction. It's ridiculous. You know, sometimes the campiest little things will yield something good. And I remember this campy little movie from a long time ago. Somebody in there said, I remember what it was. Actually, it was Mortal Kombat. Keith H. Cook, phenomenal martial artist. They were all good. But the thing is, face your enemy, face yourself, face your greatest fear. If people will just do that, I think they'll figure out pretty quickly that they are not afraid of anything that they can't actually deal with. But this mass psychosis, this is a real thing. And by the way, folks, I have to make a correction. It'll take 5 seconds. I said that the little 9-year-old girl wasn't wearing her mask. That was wrong. And it was either Mary or Alan straightened me out on that. She didn't have her vaccination card. Sorry, I said it was a mask. It's equally ludicrous, but it was not a mask. It was the card. So when you can take a fourth grader off in a police van without her parents, what do they think they'll do to the adults? You see that footage that came out of Melbourne, Australia, where those riot cops are just going down the street, just abusing citizens all over the place. It was insane.
Beating the tar out of them. And so when you see them arresting a child because they don't have their vax card, taking them from their parents in New York, you must ask, how much will we tolerate? Is there a level of outrage? Or is there a moment in time when Americans will finally say, no, no more, we will not take this? So at what point will Americans take back their country? Is it okay for the thugs to simply walk off with our children? How many children will they destroy with vaccines that they shouldn't be getting, or arresting them and what they do to them psychologically, as Dr. McDonald said? What is the end result of what they're doing to our children? So we've gone far past Lexington and Concord, and it's time for Americans to stand up, to grow up, to understand that we're losing our freedoms.
Another thing that's evident in this movie is that the Chinese communists will do absolutely anything to hold on to power. Any threat to power must be taken out. So General Chi Haoshin, who said that he might need to kill 100 to 200 million Americans to basically steal America for the Chinese century and use biological warfare if he needs to, he's cut from the same cloth as the lead torture officer of this movie. It's very scary who these people are.
Mary, I was looking at this thing from the American Report. We're almost out of show here, but I got about a minute, maybe just a little bit more. But from the American Report, from the 16th, who directed the hiding of the therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, while all these people died from COVID? Who?
Exactly.
Oh, is that still the question? We don't. So maybe it's not a single person, but maybe a bunch, yeah?
So hundreds of thousands of Americans died alone without their families while they hid the therapeutics. So who directed this to happen? And once that piece went up on Twitter, they banned us from Twitter. So understand that Twitter is part of the totalitarian arm. Thank you, one-time FBI Director James Baker.
Pretty amazing. Folks, there's an article that's been scrubbed about the Marburg virus. We don't offer any medical advice here, but make sure that in your medicine cabinet you have some fenbendazole. And I say this only because I've got some in my medicine cabinet, but I don't offer you any medical advice. Mary and Alan, thanks so much. God bless you both for coming on. I look forward to our next Fortnite intelligence briefing between now and then and beyond, everybody. God bless you, everyone, from the Bridge of the Ark. Talk to you Monday night, and good night.